Speaking about the Haggadah, and I found a very interesting essay here in a sefer called the Yeshiva University Haggadah, and it's called The Nine Aspects of the Haggadah, and apparently it's based on a public lecture of Rav Soloveitchik, and I was excited when I read this because I realized that a lot of it we had touched upon, so I'm going to read this nine aspects as sort of like an overview, in a sense a review of what we've done. The first aspect, he says, is that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on this night requires telling a story. On the one hand, we have to read the parasha of Arami Ovid Avi, and that's Nikra, that means first of all Torah Shebichtav, and from this perspective, as we discussed many times, this is an imitation of the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, which requires reading this parasha of Arami Ovid Avi. And in that sense, we have a very profound common feature to both the mitzvah of Sipur on the night of Pesach and the mitzvah of Bikurim when you bring your Bikurim, and that is the recitation of an entire parasha called Arami Ovid Avi. And from this perspective, we could say they're identical. We tell a story, but the story has to be read and recited from the Psukim in the Torah. Now we're up to number two, and at this point, the two mitzvahs part ways. In the case of Bikurim, the Torah says that all you have to do is read the text. Nothing more is required. In the case of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is an act of Talmud Torah, and it requires us to not only read the parasha, but to elaborate exegetically and interpret the parasha. And this is based on a Mishnah at the end of Pesachim, and the Mishnah says that we have to explain and elaborate from Arami Ovid Avi until he concludes the entire section, the entire portion. So we have now not just the mitzvah of Kriya, but in addition, an element of Limud. And Limud means that more than just translating the words, we have to ask questions, we have to analyze, we have to conceptualize, so that Magid itself, in its very core, is a systematic analysis of all the words of Arami Ovid Avi. An analysis. We're engaging in Torah Shebaal Peh. This goes way beyond the mitzvah of recitation of that is common to Bikurim as well. And Rav Soloveitchik wants to suggest that in the context of Limud, of elevating this Kriya to the level of Talmud Torah, we require studying the Psukim through the rules which are set down by Chazal called the Yud Gimel Midos Shatora Nidreshes Bahem. So we want to utilize all these midos to try to understand the Psukim. And that's called Mishnah. And beyond Mishnah, we also have Gemara, which is based on Svara. And that's a logical analysis of the laws of the Mishnah. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Talmud Torah says that the mitzvah of Torah requires, number one, the recitation of Torah Shebichtav, that's called Mikra. Number two, the study of Torah Shebaal Peh. And number three, the study of Talmud. And Talmud means to compare cases, to derive one idea from another, to develop one step from another, to analyze on a deeper level. Rav Soloveitchik claims that all these three elements of Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara Talmud appear in this Arami Ovid Avi section, which is the critical essence of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course, we begin by reciting the passages of Arami Ovid Avi, and that for sure is Mikra. And then we analyze these psukim through Medrash, and we even include a number of Mishnayos. For example, one Mishnah, Isram Gamliel, used to say that Kol Mishlo Omer Shlosha Dvarim Bepesach Lo Yotzi Dechovaso V'Eluhem Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. That's one Mishnah in Pesachim. There's another Mishnah in Pesachim that says, Ein Maftirin El Achar Pesach, Hafikoman. That we don't eat any food after eating the Afikoman. That's also a Mishnah in Pesachim, which we quote in the Magid section of CPT's Mitzrayim. And then we get to Gemara. Gemara means are not logical deductions and inferences. One example is, we say in that Gadol Afichach, Anu Chayovim, Lahodos, Lahalel, etc. That's a logical conclusion which we derive from the preceding halachas about Pesach Matzu Morar. So again, the Haggadah consists not just of Mikra, not just of Mishnah, but also of Limud, of logical svara and analysis, which is Torah Shebal Peh, otherwise known as Talmud. And the Rav points out that the word Haggadah itself comes from the root of Lahagid, or Magid, and that certainly reflects the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of Torah study, because if you take a look in the 19th chapter of Shmos, there it says, Kotomar, Lebeis Yaakov, V'tagid Lebnei Yisrael. And Tagid means to teach. That's the second dimension of Sipra. The third dimension is, it's not enough to be a student on this night, which is called Talmud Torah, but also one must become a teacher of Torah. The Mesorah, the tradition, the transmission of Torah. A Jew must teach his children about the glorious events that occurred in Mitzrayim so long ago. The Haggadah therefore begins with Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. And the Shibbol HaLeket says that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is in fact Birchas HaTorah. Fascinating. It's a shortened form of Birchas HaTorah. Why? Because we have the general mitzvah Birchas HaTorah, which certainly we recited those brachas in the morning of the 15th, of the 14th actually, I should say. And now we have a special mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which sets up the framework of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore we have to recite another round of blessings over the Torah, another set of Birchas HaTorah, and that's Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. And then he says, we state the following. Now he has it here in the English. I'm going to try to read it in the Hebrew. We say in the Birchas HaTorah, V'arevna Hashem Elokeinu es divrei sorascha b'finu b'fi amcha beis Yisrael. V'ni anachnu v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzei tzatzeinu kolonu yodei shmecha v'lomdei sorasecha lishma. And basically he says that we finish with Baruch Atah Hashem Hamalame Torah Liyamo Yisrael. Blessed be God who teaches Torah to His people of Israel. It means that Hashem Himself is part of the Mesorah community. He also is transmitting the Torah. And as soon as we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, in the Haggadah immediately follows the passage about the Arba Banim, and that really concretizes the notion of teaching, passing the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim to our children, each on his own level. Number four, question and answer. The style for this dialogue that's found in our Haggadah is She'ela U'tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik asks, why is it so crucial that the child ask the questions? Why do we have to prompt him through Shinuyim to get him to ask questions? And the answer is, he quotes a pasuk that says, "Ubikashtem misham es Hashem Elokecha umatzasa kidrushenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha." The Torah says in Parshas Vayeschanan at the beginning of Dvarim, "Ubikashtem misham," that we should seek out God, search for the Lord your God, and you will find Him. And therefore we want the child to initiate this Mesorah experience by asking questions, by ubikashta misham, by seeking out answers to his questions. The child becomes a mevakesh, a seeker of Hashem. And that's why She'elo Tshuva is so important. I myself would have said a little bit differently, that She'elo Tshuva is so important because if you want to make an emotional impact on a child, it's not enough just to give him all the answers. If he asks the questions, then the answers are so much more powerful, so much more meaningful, and he remembers them. Now we're up to number 5. And that is Achila Ushasiya, the Seuda. The role of the meal at the Seder. We begin the entire Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim with Kiddush. We end with Nishmas and Yishtabach after the meal. This is the reason why the Shulchan Aruch pays so much careful attention to Kiddush on the night of the 15th. It should be recited after astronomical nightfall, a subject that we discussed at great length. And he says, whereas in other Yomim Tovim, you could usher in the festival when it's still light out, but not in the case of the night of the Seder. So Kiddush is part of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim, therefore it has to take place at nighttime. Kiddush plays a double role. Of course, the role of Kiddush, to introduce a Sudas Yontif like in any Yontif, but number 2, it's part of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim. It's the first of the Dalet Kosos, in which we recite, Ata v'chartonu mikol ha'amim, you have chosen us from amongst the nations, which is really identical with the third of the 4 Lashonos of Geula, which is vilakachti. Vilakachti means I will take you as my special nation. And that vilakachti is reflected in Kiddush when we emphasize Ata v'chartonu, that you have chosen us amongst the nations. Kiddush plays a major role in Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim. Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim is not just the recitation of passages, but we have to perform certain actions. We have to eat certain foods. We begin with the first cup of wine, the cup of Kiddush. But when we eat the matzah, the morah, the Korban Pesach on the Seder night, we fulfill these specific mitzvahs, but we also fulfill the mitzvah of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim. Through all these mitzvahs, we implement not just Sibur Bepeh, not just a verbal declaration of the story, but moreover, through action, through our eating, through our seuda. And this is all part of the essential mitzvah of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim. So we get to the matzah. As Rabbi Gamliel points out in the Mishnah, we explain the matzah. When we get to the morrow, we explain the morrow. We get to the Pesach, we explain the Pesach. All these explanations are integral to the very fabric and the essence of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim. And then the eating itself, following the Sipur, clinches the Sipur and elevates it to the highest level. We have both teaching and action, and they unify to get across the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Seuda becomes a very important aspect of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim. We call it Zeh Shulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. This is the meal in front of God. That's a very fundamental principle in Judaism throughout. And that's why in the Simonim of the Seder we have Shulchan Aruch there. Shulchan Aruch is not just there to tell you now's the time to eat the meal, but Shulchan Aruch is integrated into the very fabric of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim. That's number 5. Now we get to number 6. Mikra Bikurim, which became, if you remember, the source for the Arami Ovid Avi reading on the night of the Seder, is praise and thanksgiving. Person brings his first fruits, and he acknowledges that they came from God. He praises and thanks God for that great gift. On the night of the Seder, the essence of this mitzvah to read the Haggadah and to be Mekayim Sipur is Hakaras HaTov, it's Hodoya, it's to express gratitude to Hashem. We can apply the same principle that the Gemara applies to Kriyas HaMegillah, which is called Kriyas HaZui Hilula. In this case, Kriyas HaHaggadah is itself the Hilul, the praise that's implicit in the narration. We're not just narrating a story, but with praising Hashem for having brought us out of Mitzrayim. And we have a section in Haggadah, which is a shir, V'nomar lefanav shira chadasha haleluka. The shira chadasha haleluka, that new song, is an expression of the fact that the Jews' heart is overflowing with feelings of joy, feelings of thanksgiving. This is the night in which we read Shir HaShirim. Many have the minhag to read Shir HaShirim, where we say, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. Why is it that we have a minhag to recite Shir HaShirim on this night? Shir HaShirim is a reflection of the great romance between Almighty God and Knesset Yisrael. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. This is what the Shir Chadash of the night of Pesach is all about. The Jews, the heart of the Jew is overflowing with feelings of joy, feelings of thanksgiving, of the great choice of Klal Yisrael, the romance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. Who is lowly man that he should have the audacity to praise Hashem? Man is just dust and ashes. How does man have the right to praise the infinite being, the Almighty? And Halacha responds, true, philosophically, this is a very problematic concept. We cannot explain how finite man who's really just dust and ashes can possibly sing praise to the infinite being, the Almighty. However, in a sense, a Jew cannot contain himself. On this night of the Seder, he's so overflowing with a sense of gratitude, of thanksgiving, of song to Hashem, he cannot repress this authentic need to express his gratitude to the Holy One, and he breaks out in a song of praise. Number 7. When the Jew approaches the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he may have a tendency of seeing these events as remote and distant. They belong to the past. They're not here and now. Therefore, the Haggadah emphasizes that we have to feel right now in the Arami Ovid Ovi passage. We say, and I'll read again in Hebrew, we recite the pasuk, V'ilu lohotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Savoseinu Mitzrayim Harei Anu Uvanenu V'nei Vanenu Mishubadim Ayinu Lefarav Mitzrayim. And we recite, B'chol Dor V'dor Chayev Odom Liros Es Atzmo Ki Luhu Yotza V'Mitzrayim. The Rambam adds the word Ata, as if he now left Mitzrayim. This is a declaration of relevance. Are we discussing events of history? What is their relevance upon the present situation? And we respond, if not for the redemption, there will be no Jewish people today. If we have a nation, it's because of the events of the redemption of Mitzrayim. And before we recite the Hallel, when we say that not only were our ancestors redeemed, but He redeemed us, and Chayev Adam, as we said before, Liros Esatzmo Kilu Hu Yotze Mitzrayim, it means that this is a personal experience that we re-experience every single Seder night, year in and year out. So we're talking not about a historical event, but a current event. And this recognition enables us to recite Hallel, to break forth in that spontaneous song that we spoke about before, V'nomer Lefana of Shira Chadasha, we have left Mitzrayim. Chayev Adam Liro says Atzmo. And in the V'hi She'amda, we recite the verse, V'hi She'amda L'Avosenu Lonu, Shalo Echad Bilvad Omen Oleinu L'Chaloseinu, B'chol Dor V'dar Omdim Oleinu L'Chaloseinu, V'kosh Baruch Matzilenu M'yon, B'chol Dor V'dar. What could be more relevant than B'chol Dor V'dar? In every generation, the tyrants seek to destroy us. They want to undermine the Holy One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem delivers us from their hands. So not only do we relive the experience of Egypt, but we relive the danger of annihilation that threatened the Jewish people in every single generation, in every location on the earth. So we take the historical events and we use them to shed a light and give us a deeper understanding of our current situation. And why do we lift up the wine when we say this paragraph of V'hi She'amda L'Avosenu? The cup of Yayin is the symbol of Jewish destiny, of Jewish eternity, of Netzach Yisrael. And this is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Kos Yeshuas Eso V'Shem Hashem Ekra. And therefore at the Seder, when we want to indicate that these events of the past are relevant to the present, then we lift up the cup, the Kos of Yayin, the Kos of redemption, And we say that this is characteristic of Jewish history. Finally, number 8 and number 9, the last two elements of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechta Pesachim that we have to explain the Arami Ovid Avi Parsha until we complete the Parsha. So Rav Soloveitchik points out that if you read the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, you'll see that there is one pasuk at the end of that parsha, which is read by the Bikurim, Mikra Bikurim people, but we don't have it as part of our Seder. And that pasuk is Vayivienu el Amakom Azeh, Vayitein Lanu Es Haaretz Hazos, Eretz Avas Chalav Dvash. And Viata Hine Evesi Es Priya Adom Asher Nasata Li Hashem. On the occasion of bringing the first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, we thank Hashem for having brought us to the land. He gave us the land that's flowing with milk and honey. But although that's part of the mitzvah of Bikurim, it's completely omitted in the case of the Agoda. In the case of Bikurim, we thank Hashem for the land and the fruit that was produced by the land. And therefore we speak about the great land of Eretz Yisrael and that great gift that Hashem bestowed upon us. But in the case of the Agoda, that paragraph, that verse is omitted. Because that verse addresses the great accomplishment of entry into the land of Israel. However, although on this night we have the four Lashonos of Geula, there's one Lashon which is omitted, and that's Vevesi. We speak about the Geula. We speak about the fact that we were taken out of slavery. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vevesi, I will bring you to the land. That was promised Avram to Yitzchak and Yaakov, respectively, in the Bris Avos. However, the Jewish people did not enter into the land immediately after the Exodus from Egypt. The primary goal of the Exodus of Egypt was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, when Hashem says to him that you will serve me here on this mountain, and that's Mount Horeb. The ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the destiny of Klal Yisrael, is receiving the Torah at Har Sinai. And that's part of the Lashonos of Geula. However, Eretz Yisrael is the destination, but that's not the actual goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was achieved at Har Sinai with the revelation and the giving of the Torah, the transformation of a people who were subjugated into a Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. It's more than just political freedom, much more than just economic freedom, but rather the creation of a sacred people, a nation of Kohanim, that will accept the Torah. And therefore on this night, we will not emphasize that Lashon of Geula, which is again part of the Parsha for the Mevi'ei Bikurim, but does not play a major role on this particular night. Now we're up to number 9, the last element in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that is that the Jew mentions all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, has done for him as a nation, for the people of Israel. And this is what we recite in Birkas HaMazon. But after Birkas HaMazon, we have the culmination of the Seder, and that's Hallel HaGadol. In Hallel HaGadol, we recognize God's benevolence, first and foremost, to the entire world. As we say, Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar Kilom Chazdo. But then, we single out the special, unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. And that's the climax of the Seder when we recite Nishmas. A lot of people by that time are half asleep, but they should wake up for Nishmas. Because Nishmas, we speak about the future, the Achris HaYomim. when all the living beings, Nishmas Kol Chai Tevarech, will praise the Almighty. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about the ultimate Geula for Klal Yisrael, Nishmas Kol Chai, and all the peoples of Israel will recognize the God of Israel. I wanted to share with you, or call to your attention, a set of Sfarim, this is volume 1, called HaSeder HaAruch. And it's a wonderful set of Sfarim. It has three, now four volumes, authored by Moshe Yaakov Weingarten, a Yerushalmi. And what I'd like to do is, obviously it would take weeks, if not months, to go through this sefer, but I just want to mention to you some of the topics that I thought were worth highlighting. And even if we cannot go into them and delve into them, but nevertheless, we should be aware of them. First of all, he speaks about charoses. Very interesting. Long, long, detailed discussions about the ingredients that go into charoses and the symbolic meaning based on psukim, mostly from Shir HaShirim, of each and every one of those ingredients. He even says that there's one ingredient which is very critical, which is yayin. He has a whole discussion about when to add the yayin into the charoses and whether or not there are any halachic problems of adding the coloring of yayin into the charoses. He has a discussion about sichas chulin in the middle of the Haggadah. Again, a long, complicated presentation here that one should not be mafsik in the middle of the recitation of the Haggadah for a sichas chulin. That means that all the Haggadah and all its parts are integrated to form one whole. We don't want to interrupt in the middle. He speaks about the question of why there's no bracha on the mitzvah Dalet Kosos. Baruch Hashem, we had long discussions about this, but he adds another element to the equation which I wasn't aware of. And that is that each one of the Dalet Kosos has its own bracha, all four respectively. And the bracha forms the essence of the mitzvah of each one of the four kosos. We never make a bracha on a bracha. So for example, we have a mitzvah of Kiddush, we have a mitzvah of Havdalah, we have a mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. In none of those cases do we recite a bracha, Asher Kinshonu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu. Because we don't find a bracha on a bracha. So, for example, every morning we recite Birchas HaTorah. The Ramban is of the opinion that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. We don't say Asher Kitshonu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu Levarech Al HaTorah and then embark upon reciting the bracha. Whenever the mitzvah and the bracha are one and the same, there's no Birchas HaMitzvah. So there's no Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaMazon. Why? Because we don't make a bracha on top of a bracha. And now we're suggesting that the mitzvah Dalet Kosos is to drink four kosos, each one that had a recitation of a bracha on that kos. So the recitation of the bracha is part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. And if you recall, we said Shison b'masachas lo yotze. If he drinks four cups consecutively without the brachas, he wasn't yotze. So since the brachos integrate, they form the very critical essence of the mitzvah, we don't make a bracha on a bracha. Another answer that he gives, which I thought was also very intriguing, not on our list, was maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. We have to talk about the suffering. We have to talk about the avdus and the inui, the geiris and mitzrayim. We never make a bracha on something that really is a klola. It's a curse. And since the mitzvah sipur requires that we begin with maschil b'gnus, therefore we don't make a bracha. Very fascinating idea as to why we don't make a bracha. He has a long discussion here about why we don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Sipri Yitz Mitzrayim. He has a long discussion about the mitzvah of Haseba. He wants to know whether the mitzvah Haseba is a mitzvah unto itself, or it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Matzah, or the mitzvah Dalet Kosos. Nafkamina, what happens if you eat the matzah without a seba? What happens if you drink any one of the four kosos without a seba? Are you required by law to repeat the achila, to repeat the shtia? If Haseba is a separate mitzvah, all right, so he didn't Mekayim the mitzvah of Haseba, at least not here, but he'll be Mekayim the mitzvah of Haseba with other achilos, other shtios. But if Haseba is part and parcel of the mitzvah of matzah, and it's integral part of the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, then if you drank without Haseba, or you ate the matzah without Haseba, you'd have to repeat the achilos matzah, or the shtias Dalet Kosos, and he has a whole long analysis of the sources on this question. So we have to be very careful for ourselves and for those who are sitting around the Seder to make sure that we warn them before the drinking, before the eating, to do the Haseba. He has a discussion about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which applies the whole year round. A long presentation, an entire chapter on the difference between the mitzvah of Zechira the whole year round and the mitzvah of Sipra on this night. And he raises the following question. If you look in the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, counting the 613, the Rambam omits the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And yet that's a mitzvah that applies the whole year round. Why would the Rambam have omitted it? And he quotes my Rebbe in the name of Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim used to say that the mitzvah of Zechira, the whole year round, is not a separate independent mitzvah, but rather it's part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And therefore, Reb Chaim says that in the third paragraph, the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, we say at the end of the paragraph, Ani Hashem Asher Otzei Sichem, May Eretz Mitzrayim, we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechira as Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's integrated into the very fabric of Kriyat Shema. And the reason for that is, says Reb Chaim, because the essence of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. God, you've taken us out of slavery, we are now your servants. And that's why the Pasuk says, Adi Hashem Elokeichem Asher Tzisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Lios Lachem Lelokim, to be your God, to be your master. He has the Kiddush of Rav Sajigon. Do you remember we spoke about the fact that Rav Sajigon has a tremendously long, intricate Kiddush for this night of Pesach? Then he has a whole section here, which I thought was very kedai to learn if we had the time, and that is how many kizesim of matzah must a person eat on this night? And he says the very barest minimum is 2 kizesim. 1 kizayis for the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah, and the other for the mitzvah of Kizayis Matzah. Then he shows that the Rambam, at least, and many other Rishonim drop the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah on this night. So you need a Kizayis for the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, Matzah V'Sum Rom Yachlu, and another Kizayis to eat with the Maror. And that's based on the Pasuk Al Matzos Umarorim Yachlu, not just on the Pasuk of Ba'erev Toklu Matzahs. He says there's a possibility that we should add a third kizayis, which is called the afikoman. And he quotes Rishonim who hold that the ikar mitzvah of Ba'erev Toklu Matzis is fulfilled by eating the afikoman. A lot of people take the afikoman a little bit too much for granted in a laid-back attitude. He speaks about women and the mitzvah of Sipra Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he claims that although Sipra Yetzias Mitzrayim is a classic mitzvah saseh shazman groma, he proves from Rishonim that women are obligated in this mitzvah, and this is derived from a hekesh between matzah and sipur, because in the mitzvah, we got it to the Mincha, the Torah says, bavur, right, what does it say? Bavur zeh. Remember, we have an equation between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of Sipra Yetzias Mitzrayim. We point to matzah. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. Now, why are women obligated in the mitzvah of matzah? I mean, that's another case of a zman groma. And the Gemara derives this from an equation to chametz, because in the same pasuk the Torah says, "Ba'erev tochlu matzahs and kol machmetzes lo sochelu, kol sheyeshno bebal tochal chametz, yeshno bekuma achol matzah." Women are included in the iser of chametz, and therefore, by virtue of this hekesh, they're included in the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Once they're included in the mitzvah of achilas matzah, they're likewise included in the mitzvah of sipur. And this is a chumrah because many women are so busy on the night of the Seder, they fall asleep also, or they're in the kitchen. We have to make sure that at least for those critical elements in the mitzvah of Sipra Yetzias Mitzrayim, for example, the Arba Bonim, those questions, and the Etz Avodah Mayinu, and then the Drash of Arami Ovid Avi, those are the critical elements in the mitzvah of Sipra, plus the 4 Kosos, and The second cause, of course, is the cause of Magid, which ends with Gal Yisrael. So it's very critical that the women participate not only in those critical areas of Sipur, but also in the final bracha of Gal Yisrael, because the bracha sets up the second cause, and the women are obligated in Dalit Kosos. The Gemara says, why are women obligated in Dalit Kosos? After all, it's a mitzvah seishes man groma, and the Gemara, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, af hein hayu bi oso anes. What does that mean? According to one school of thought, it means they are included in the gzera of Paro. According to another, it means bizchus noshim tzikonios nigalu avosein mitzrayim. The women played a major role in bringing about the geula. The geula was in the merit of the women folk. Here, he has a whole chapter with a gewaltige chiddush, which he claims comes from Rav Soloveitchik, that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and this was not in the nine facets that we discussed before, this would be number 10 to round it off, is not just telling the story, but also Limud Hilchas Pesach. When we study the laws of Pesach, that itself is an integral part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And based on this, he explains why we read the Mishnah at the end of Pesachim, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman. And it's interesting that in the answer that we give to the Ben HaChacham, it says, according to the Girsa of the Vilna Gaon, it says, Ad Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman. And Rav Soloveitchik claims that that extra word, Ad, is very critical because it means that we learn all of the laws of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the laws of Leil HaPesach, all the laws of Matzah and Maror and Pesach, everything is all integrated into Sipur. And we should go all the way to the end, the very last Mishnah of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. All that is included in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Interesting, the Haggadah tells the story about the Tanoim that were Mesubin in Bnei Brak. Vayu Mesaprim, B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kol Otsa, Halayla, Hachibol, Talmideim, etc. One of those five Tanoim was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that the Achilas HaPesach, that mitzvah terminates at Chatzos, at midnight. And we have a hekesh, an equation between the mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if the mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach terminates at Chatzos, then ipso facto, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim would also terminate at Chatzos. So why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah amongst those Tanoim who are Mesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim Kolos HaLayla for the entire point of the night? So Rav Soloveitchik claims that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. One is the mitzvah of Sipur per se, and the other is the limud halachos. And he says the following, that according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, since the Pesach ends at Chatzos, then that dimension of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of learning the halachos, would terminate at Chatzos. But in addition to that, there's a mitzvah of Sipur, to tell the story, to re-experience the redemption, and that mitzvah applies, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, throughout the entire night. Another section here in the Seder Aruch is called Mitzvah Sipur Al HaMatzah. And he even brings down a minog that we should be sure to expose the matzos for the entire mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because it says, Bavur Zeh, the matzah has to be on the table according to that particular shita, and the chovas haggadah is to recite the haggadah on the matzah. The Rambam doesn't hold like this. The Rambam holds that lechem oni is a kiyum in the matzah, but not in the kiyum of the haggadah. Now, there's a minhag to take potatoes, cooked potatoes, for karpas. I'm not sure if you have to take cooked potatoes, if that's your minug. Okay, he's actually not so thrilled about the minug in the Seder Aruch. I'm trying to remember why, just want, if you don't mind, just want to refresh my memory. why is it that he's not so excited about potatoes? Shin Chof Aleph. Just give me a second here. Oh, he says Yesh La'akshos Tal Minig Zeh Lefi Atam Shetibu La'karpas Hu Kedech B'nei Chorin Shetov Lim Yerek Kodem Achila Kedei La'orer Tavas Achila Harei Dover Zeh Nemar Rak B'Yerek Chai Ve'ilu B'Yerek Mevushal Kosu Atosis. This is Tosfos in Erevin. Sheyerek mevushal mazbia, afilu bedover kal, v'eino ma'orer tavas achila. According to one explanation, we eat the karpas before the meal to stimulate our appetite. And he proves from a Tosfos in Erevin that only applies to raw vegetables, but not to cooked vegetables. So he's not excited about taking a cooked potato for karpas, because instead of arousing your appetite, it's just going to fill you up. Now, as far as the reasoning behind karpas, one of them we said is li'orer es hatava. However, he has another explanation, which is what we call shinui, to do something that's very odd, to arouse the curiosity of the children. And he says the following: Kevan shadayin lo igiyas man suda. Since it's before the suda, he says. Just one second. Just make sure I'm reading the right paragraph. Yeah. He says. Tzichem kodem lomar agadol sapi tzis mitzayim chen ochlem ayerek kodem asuuda. Shalolishos kol osuzman velo achila. Okay, that's an interesting pshat. According to that, maybe you could take potatoes because, you know, we want to have enough of a filled belly so that we have the koyach to go through the lagoda properly. And sometimes the stomach is growling for food. We can't do the proper time to the maggid. But then he writes that this tibul of karpas is becharoses atibul asheni sheim lo yemitabel el es amor lo yenika shetovul she mitzvah she derpnei ob litvo beemtza sula chen tiknu litvo yere kodem suda veromzum al atibul asheni shal amoror she eno machmas asuda al mishu mitzvah chachomim. He says the following, that if we didn't have the first tibul of karpas and we only had the tibul of moror becharoses, he says it wouldn't be nikar, it wouldn't be clear that that tibul of moror was l'shem mitzvah, because it seems that's quite common during the course of a suda to take a vegetable and dip it into let's say salt water or whatever he does the tibul in this case karoses. So they added an extra tibul at the beginning of the suda, so that people would understand that the second tibul is not because of the suda, because he's already done a tibul for the suda. And in the footnote, he quotes the Maral Miprag: Tam achilas karpas kodem asuda kedei shalolomar shtei brachos ala mora. Interesting. Now, he wants to have an excuse for the borei pri hadama at the beginning of the meal, so that he doesn't need another Bari Pri Adama before he eats the Mara. So he shouldn't have to make two brachas on one Achilas Mara. Obviously, that's not our minog. Our minog is, correct me if I'm wrong, that we don't make a bracha on karpas. Is that correct? But apparently, what?
Yes.
But the Maral apparently had a bracha on karpas. Wait a second. I'm making a big mistake. I'm really confusing. He says that we don't make a bracha al netilas yadayim on the karpas, but we certainly make. Yeah, we certainly make a bar pri adama. So the Maral is saying
we don't wash. We don't wash.
Right. We wash without making a
bracha when we wash.
Right, without saying al netilas yadayim, but we do make a bracha of Bori Pri Adama. So the Maral is saying that the reason why they established the karpas is so that we already potted up the maror with the Bori Pri Adama at the point of karpas. So therefore maror will not need two brachas. That has to do with another sugi which is called Enos in Mitzvos Chavilos. Now, as far as Achilas Matzah on Erev Pesach is concerned, this is a Yerushalmi quoted by Tosa at the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. It's a pretty serious issue. We don't eat any Matzah on Erev Pesach. And in this Sefer, he has a whole pilpul about the nature of the Isra Achilas Matzah. And he says, Misha Ovar V'yochal Matzah Erev Pesach, does he make a bracha achrona? And in general, when we eat something that we're not allowed to eat, many Rishonim, I don't want to get into all machlokas, would say you don't make a bracha achrona on something that you aren't allowed to eat. So he went ahead and he ate matzah on Erev Pesach. And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch and other later tshuvas that write, Mevarech bracha achrona. V'afal gav de b'chol ha'ochel davar asur ena mevarech bracha achrona mikol makom mevarech al ha'matzah bracha achrona kevon she'ein ha'isra al ha'matzah ela al hazman she'asur b'achilas matzah. This is what we call in Briska language, it's an isa gavra, not an isa chefta. There's nothing inherently asur about the matzah, just that you're not allowed to eat it at that time. Okay. What else? He has an explanation for the Rav Sadja Gaon. The Rav Sadja Gaon who counts the Taryag Mitzvahs, he omits the Mitzvah Sipi receives Tzrayim from Taryag. And he has a whole long discussion about that. The Shita of the Rambam is that one person should read the Haggadah, we pointed this out already, on behalf of all the other Mesubin. And he's the Koreas Haggadah, and that's called Barov Am Hajas Melech. As far as wearing a kittel is concerned, he quotes the Slonim Rebbe for a Hasidisha take on why you wear a kittel. And he says a kittel indicates starting a new page. Psichas daf chadash. As if we are a new creation, a new birya chadash. And he says that on two times during the year we wear a kittel. One is Yom Kippur, and the other is Leil HaPesach. But he says that there's a fundamental difference between the two. On Yom Kippur it's called Isarusa Dilitata, but man takes the initiative. And on Pesach, on the other hand, it's Isarusa Dili'ela. This is called Vidiglu Alai Ava, Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, in which Hashem skips over all the impasses, so to speak, in order to accept us, redeem us and uplift us to the Atav V'chartanu level, and that's the kittel that we wear on the night of Pesach. This year the kittel is, I think, is particularly important because, you know, if we're doing the Seder a little bit on the lonely side, we don't have our children, our grandchildren, so, you know, the kittel has to put us in the mood for the Seder. Some say that the purpose of the kittel is to remember the Achilas HaPesach, because with regard to the Achilas HaPesach, which took place on the 15th of Nisan, we have halacha of Lutiferes. Lutiferes means that when you eat kachim, you have to eat them wearing very special garments. And the kittel is reminiscent of the special garments that they wore back in the time of the Beis HaMikdash when they ate the Korban Pesach. My Rebbe used to say, in the name of his father, that the reason why we wear a kittel is just that. So you should ask, why do we wear a kittel? It's one of the various shinuyim that we do on this night to get the children to ask a question. All right, I'm going to take this opportunity to thank you for coming and to wish you a great Chag Kosher V'Sameach. If there's any interest in another shiur before Pesach, you'll let me know. This actually is number, I think, I'm not mistaken, either number 6 or 7 in the whole series.
I think we did at least 6.